So this morning we begin a time of summer snapshots. A snapshot, you know, is just a picture that glimpses one moment in time. And if you are someone who enjoys looking at pictures from years past, when you hold one of those photographs in your hand or you see it on a screen, it takes you back to that moment in time. It's just a snapshot, just a glimpse of something that happened in your life, and yet seeing it in visual form helps you to relive all that is around it. Maybe even just looking at that picture, you can smell the smells. You can hear the words, the activity, the noise that was going on around you. You can perhaps feel the touch of the people who are in that picture with you. You can see the joy on your face and the face of others who are in that picture with you. That snapshot just takes you back. This summer, we're going to look at different snapshots from God's Word, ways in which we maybe spend some of our time, times and places in our lives that we might want to make sure we capture a snapshot, a picture, a memory. So this morning, we're going to look at the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. We're going to look this morning at the snapshot of Sabbath and what Sabbath means in our lives. So I invite you to hear God's word from Exodus chapter 16, and I'm going to begin at verse 22. Will you hear now God's word? On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, 2 omers apiece. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it for today, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Over the last several weeks, we have seen graduates make their journey from one stage in life to another. And there's sort of been a common theme, perhaps, that gets echoed through all graduation or commencement addresses. It's that theme of seizing the day. Seize the day, graduates. Take hold of all the opportunities that lie before you. Go and make a difference in our world. Go change the world for the better. As you transition from this place to another, be successful. Do a good job. Make more money. Have more success. You're going to do great things in life. And then we hear a different kind of message from our God. Our God, who at the end of a 6 working day working period, who's worked hard to create the world out of nothing, says to us that at the end of the work comes the rest. You've done all the work. God has created all the world. And then God sits back and says, seize the day. Rest and enjoy. Seize the day. Make the most of the present moment. Friends, our lives are measured by productivity. We value busyness. We value to-do lists and tasks and accomplishments. And we pat ourselves on the back when we get them done. I'll confess I'm one that adds things on my to-do list that I know I've already done just so I can make a nice mark off on that to-do list. Because it looks like I've been more productive. I've gotten more done in that 24 hours that I've been given. Hard work is valued by our world, and laziness is frowned upon. It kind of reminds me of the song that Alabama used to sing. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I've really got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. It's the value that we place on life, getting more and more things accomplished. And we do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I've gotten emails from colleagues on Christmas morning, emails from colleagues on Easter morning, and these are colleagues in the faith, because we value hard work. We value productivity. We value getting things done. The word Sabbath means cease from working. Cease from working. Our Jewish brothers and sisters call Sabbath Shabbat. They call Sabbath Shabbat, and it starts for them on Friday evening at sundown and lasts throughout the day on Saturday. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, Shabbat is the last day of their week, their Sabbath. For us as Christians, we've taken on Sabbath as being the first day of our week, the day that we call Sunday, the day that we call the Lord's Day. But my brothers and my sisters, we miss the point of Sabbath. If we get into the nitty-gritty and start to argue over whether it's Friday, sundown through Saturday, or whether it's Sunday, what day is it that Sabbath really is? We've missed the point. The point is that life is not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No, friends, God is calling us to find Sabbath. We are being called to seize that day, to take a hold of that day. There's a natural rhythm between work and rest. And as Lauren read to us from Genesis, in God's creative order, there was a natural rhythm between work, the work that God had done, and the rest that God brought to the world. It's a rhythm of work and rest. We seem to be missing the rest part. We work and work and work and work and work. And our natural rhythm seems to be out of kilter. Things don't seem to quite be right in our world. Our friends, the Israelites, they learned this lesson. They learned this lesson as they're out wandering in the wilderness. And God has said to them, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you bread from heaven. And I'm going to provide you just the amount that you need for every day. You can't take more than you need. Just take what's needed for this day and this day alone. If we looked back in Exodus 16 in the verses that preceded what I read to you, we would see that sometimes when the Israelites tried to gather more than they needed for a given day, they woke up the next morning and it was spoiled. It was ruined. There were worms in it, and it wasn't fit to be eaten because they'd not followed God's instructions to take just what they needed for that day. On the sixth day, God says to them, "Now on this sixth day, you can take twice as much as you need. Take some for today and take some for tomorrow, because tomorrow is your Sabbath. And if you go out and look on your Sabbath, you will find none. There will be no manna, no bread from heaven that's been showered down upon you." And so the sixth day comes and most gather in what they need for the sixth and the seventh day. And some of them still think, "Oh, God just didn't really mean that." And so they go out the seventh day and they find none. They find none. It was just as if God had said and God declared and God followed through with what God said. And those that had gathered enough for the sixth day and for the seventh day, what normally would have spoiled hadn't spoiled because God had told them to gather what they needed for the next day because it was their Sabbath day, their day of rest. There was a time in our lives, maybe back in the 50s, that we understood, we as a culture understood really what a day of rest was like. Everything was closed on that day of rest, on that Sunday. Some of you remember this time. You couldn't get gas on Sunday. You couldn't hop into the drugstore on Sunday. Sure, the farmers milked their cows every day, but they didn't put up hay on Sunday because that was considered work. I can remember growing up in the early 80s and my grandmother going to her house for Sunday lunch. Sunday lunch had been prepared on Saturday and it had been tightly wrapped in tinfoil to contain as much heat as possible in the tinfoil that could just be stuck into the oven and warmed ever so slightly for our Sunday lunch. It seems as if our brothers and our sisters seem to know this cycle, this rhythm of work and rest. And somehow, friends, in 2017, we've gotten ourselves out of balance. We're missing that rhythm of work and rest. And so we hear in the book of Exodus this morning to remember that the Sabbath is a time of rest, a time of rest. And when I think of this word rest, we think that maybe that just means hanging out. It just means being lazy. But the reality is rest is an action word. It's something that we're doing. And yet it's not something that we're busying ourselves with. It's not something that we're making ourselves be valued based on the productivity. We are resting. We are ceasing the work. We are seizing the day and taking hold of the Sabbath. Taking time to step back, to breathe in and breathe out. To make the most of the moment. Often, friends, we hear people say that we cannot stop. We cannot stop. And yet God would tell us that we cannot afford not to stop. God is calling us to rest. God is calling us to Sabbath. God is calling us, friends, to do whatever it is in Sabbath that nourishes our souls Maybe it's traveling. Maybe it's a break in our normal routine. Maybe it is that time for a long afternoon nap. Maybe it's just finding the space to take in that deep breath. Matthew Sleeth is the author of a book called 24/6. And Sleeth is an emergency room doctor that learned a hard lesson about what Sabbath really means. Sleeth, as an emergency room doctor, you can imagine the traumas that he experienced on a daily basis as he worked upon work upon work upon tragedy upon trauma upon event from room to room to room. You can imagine what that life of an emergency room doctor might be like. And Sleeth talks about being at this particular moment in his life where he had been without sleep, he'd been without space to breathe, and he'd been from one tragedy to the next, and the next, and the next. And in the midst of that hospital, he found lying on a table a Gideon Bible. You know the Gideon Bibles that are found in most hospital rooms. And Sleeth opened it up and decided that he would start at the beginning. And you know what Sleeth found at the beginning? Was a message in the midst of that work cycle that called for rest and called for Sabbath. And at that moment, Sleeth realized what was missing from his life. What was missing was the time with God, the time for rest, the time for space to breathe. And so Sleeth writes this book entitled 24/6. 24/6, and what's missing from the 24/7 world that we live in is that day of rest, that day of Sabbath. For many of us, we function on a school calendar, and summer vacation is at last here, and it's time for us to step back from the busy routine of our lives to catch our breath, to have Sabbath, to enjoy. For those on our church staff who are looking towards retirement, the days of work and busyness and productivity are being fulfilled through moments of taking hold of rest, enjoyment, family, friends, and space. So our Sabbath moments are calling us to rest, and our Sabbath moments are also calling us to find our God. If we looked over into Exodus chapter 20, where we are given the Ten Commandments, we would read that the fourth commandment says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When we keep something holy, we acknowledge the presence of God in our midst. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, and perhaps some of you are familiar with that wording of the Bible, The Message, says that Sabbath is that uncluttered time and space in which we distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing in our midst. Distancing ourselves from our own activities so that we can have eyes wide open to what God is doing in our midst. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When we are so busy going from work to work to work to productivity, and when we're in such a hurry to get things done, we miss the amazing activity of God in the world around us. And our Sabbath time is calling us to keep that moment holy, to pay attention to what God is doing in our midst. Sometimes we go an entire week. And at the end of that week, we're wondering, where is God? Where is God? Where did God show up this week? Perhaps if we had just taken that deep breath and gotten a hold of our Sabbath, we would see that God is moving and working every single day of our life. And then in Exodus chapter 16, verse 29, God says to those Israelites, when is it that you're going to realize I've given you a gift? When is it that you're going to stop complaining and stop trying to get more than you need and realize that I have given you a gift? I've given you a gift, and it's called Sabbath. It's called time to cease work, to refresh your souls, to nourish your bodies, to quench your thirst. That, friends, is what it means to seize the day, to take hold of the gift that God has given you, to take hold of that opportunity to rest in the promise that all the days of your life, you belong to God, and God holds you in the palm of God's gracious hands. So seize the day. Rock a little bit longer in the hammock. Hit a few more golf balls on the golf course. Put your toes in the sand. Read a good book. Listen to your favorite music. Go on a picnic. Talk to a friend. Kayak on the water. Do whatever it is that nourishes your souls. That nourishes your souls and frees you then to do the work to which you have been called. If Matthew Sleeth hadn't taken a hold of that opportunity to nourish himself, he was getting ready to run himself into the ground. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is calling us to seize the day, to rest, to find God, and to take hold of the gift graciously offered to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.